Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is Jamel White. Hi, Jamel. How are you?
What's good, fellas? I'm good.
Hello, Jamel.
And you guys? How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Very well.
Better than Tito.
I have a couple questions for you. Let me start with this one because I asked you this the other day. I texted you that because Jeff and I were having a conversation, and I'm not asking for any names, so that's not where I'm going.
Apparently he wants names, Jim.
No, I don't want names. Would you ever put it past an NFL wide receiver or even a running back coming out of the backfield to drop a ball on purpose?
Okay. So remember when you texted me
yeah.
and I told you, I was like, depends on the situation.
Right. So what would the situation be like for that to happen?
All right. So I'm going to give you one, and I'm going to give you a name. All right. It's going to be a good one. So I've done that before. However, the situation was, it was a screen and the screen was coming and I could see all the people coming towards me. So once I turned, it was like at the end of the game, somewhere around there. Had I caught the ball, we would have lost more yards than I would have gained. So what I ended up doing was, the ball came, the dude was coming. So these guys think too. He was like, this dude, we're going to let him catch the ball, and then we're going to get him in the back here, and we're just going to drop him back some more.
Right. So they want you to catch the ball at this point.
Right. So they wanted me to catch it. So what I ended up doing was slapping it out of the air and putting it on the ground. However, we turned around, and we ended up getting a first down because we went back to the drawing board, and we got a first down. We had to go for, I think it was on fourth down, we ended up going for it, but it was fourth and one instead of going to be fourth and like 10 or 5.
So no difference between what you did and a quarterback that would throw the ball into the stands living to see another down, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I had to think about it on a run and know where I was at. So I purposely did that, but it was for a certain reason.
It's like Nick Chubb knowing to stay in bounds rather than get into the end zone because you don't want to give the other team the ball. Right.
Right. Or you're trying to waste time. So you got a ton of room on the sideline and you could just step out of bounds if you wanted to, but you slide on your butt.
Okay. That is a great story and it's very, very good. And I appreciate your perspective on that. Now, do you know anybody that actually dropped the ball on purpose because maybe they wanted to leave the franchise?
Or because they wanted to make the quarterback look bad, I don't think makes the quarterback look bad.
Good one. Good one, Jeff.
Well,
and you said you were going to name names, so start naming names.
I'm not going to name a name for that one. I named the name for me because it was me. Like I told you on the text, it depends on the situation. But I've heard people in the locker room kind of say certain things to that effect. And I'm like, dude, why would you do that? But here's the other thing. And people don't know this. Well, some people do know this. It doesn't behoove any wide receiver to drop a ball because in most contracts, you have an incentive for catching balls.
Okay.
And it don't matter if you lose yards with it. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So if you catch it, it counts.
All right, that's interesting. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah. So what would be your incentive for dropping it?
To get out of Dodge. It's the only reason why. Or it's just not, you're not happy with the quarterback. You're not happy with the team. You're not happy. And you want out.
Well, that may be a case, but the thing that persuades you not to do that is, all right, if you get, like, in 1 year I had to catch 60 balls or whatever. Well, if I know I need to catch 60 balls, every ball means something to get that bonus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, no, I get you.
It wouldn't make sense to do it. So I've heard people talk about it in locker rooms, but the reality of if a ball comes to them as a competitor, I'm going to catch it no matter what, except for the situation I was in that one time. But, you know, as a competitor, I'm gonna catch the ball. You see dudes catch balls all the time. They got like five people wrapped around their legs. It's just not in you to drop them.
Okay. Thank you for backing up my point.
Oh, we'll talk later. We'll text later. Don't worry.
You'll text later.
Yes.
If you're on an NFL team, Jamel, and I'm thinking of our wide receivers here on the Browns right now, are you comfortable going into a season with some really talented guys, but guys who are unproven? Now, really the only proven wide receiver that this team has is Amari Cooper. Everybody else, you have your fingers crossed that they make a step or come in as a rookie and really contribute. Is that a comfortable feeling for an offense?
Honestly, nah, it's not. Because they're not proven, right? So not to say that they won't be proven, but that always goes into, like, for example, you get into me and the AD of our school was just talking about this the other day. Well, yesterday, actually. You get into these games, and just because somebody was good in college don't necessarily make them good when they get in the NFL, because it's a different kind of game at that point. So for me, I'm big on these guys. They should have to prove themselves first before you even give them anything. But that's not the reality of it. So when you go into these games, and especially now with the NFL being like a pass friendly, very, very, very big passing type of game, quarterbacks want that security of having multiple wide receivers they could throw a ball up to and they could go get it. Now, the good teams have that. The Browns, you know, when they had Odell and all these other cats, they were trying to get those type of wide receivers that, you know, they may be covered, but if I throw it up there, they're going to go fight and get it. That's the type of wide receivers you want. You got to find those type of guys. Now, if Cooper gets hurt, you start looking around like, who's going to do what for us now? You know what I'm saying? So
exactly. Those
are the things that are different that people don't look at, but when you look at the grand scheme of really good quarterbacks, they've had good wide receivers around them. It's not just them just doing these great things. They've had good wide receivers, people they could throw it to, they'll go up and get it, or people who's going to make the run after catch yards. You know what I'm saying? People who's going to be smart and know when to, you know, check out or check. They just have this kind of confidence each other to where they know that you're going to do the right things for each other. So the good quarterbacks have that. And you could go down every good quarterback that was ever around and look at the teams that they had and the wide receivers that surrounded them.
Jamel White, former Browns running back, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's talk about running backs. The Browns picked up a running back in some ways similar to you. I'm almost the same height, a little bit. You had a little bit more muscle than maybe he did, and that's my nice way of saying that you weighed a little bit more than Jerome Ford did.
Wow.
But I'm just saying, what do you think of this guy? He does remind me, although I'm getting crushed for my comparisons today with these guys, but there's a little bit of Jamel White in Jerome Ford that they just picked up from Cincinnati. What do you think?
I just think in general, like when you get like a running back like that could catch, that could run, that could do all that stuff.
Like you?
Well, it's similar to me. Okay. I mean, it's not like nobody's the same.
No, man. I know, but they're close. You can always make comparisons.
Yeah, so when you could get somebody who could do all those different things, it makes your offense, which they have running backs in that room already that could do those things, but it makes your offense bigger. You know what I mean? Like, it makes – you could do more things. You could start putting in packages with, you know, a whole bunch of running backs instead of just having one. Like, that goes back to the point we were talking about before. In Tampa, when I was in Tampa, we would go out with five running backs some playing wide receiver, some in the backfield, everywhere, just because all of us could catch and all of us could run. So it made a defense start like, oh, my God, what are we about to do? How do we cover this? You know what I mean? It starts making things the mismatches, you know what I mean? So when you get guys like that and you can fill like a room like that, it makes it better for your offense. So I applaud stuff like that, man. But now you got to see how they're going to use them, because you already got the two good ones. Well, you got three good ones in there already. So now you add a fourth. And I have never been in a situation except in Tampa where they kept, you know, so many running backs. You know what I mean?
Do you, when you would watch the draft when you were playing, because I thought it was interesting, Mike Vrabel said this, that when he was in Pittsburgh and he was in New England, he was watching the draft as a veteran, like watching to see if they were going to draft the person that was going to replace him. Like, the draft day is miserable for a veteran. It's the greatest day ever for an incoming rookie. Is that how you would watch it? And if you were D'Ernest Johnson or Kareem Hunt or even Nick Chubb, and you saw they picked up Jerome Ford, what would you be thinking on draft day?
Oh, absolutely. You would absolutely think that. You would be like, oh, my God. Okay, first you start kind of trying to look and see what round he got drafted in.
Okay.
Because that kind of gives you a little bit of inclination of what's about to go down. And then you kind of start looking at yourself like, all right, what was my exit interview? Because you have to do an exit interview. Like, they go over all the things with you that you should be doing well or that you could be. I give you an example. It was LaDainian Tomlinson was coming out, and I was in Cleveland, and we had the option of picking him up, and we bypassed him. Now, at the time, I was still the third down guy, but to me, that wasn't a big thing. But to all the other running backs, I think James was there. He was like, whew, thank God. You know what I mean? To me, it was like, whatever. But no matter what round they get drafted, I mean, you got to fight for your position no matter what. I mean, money means things in NFL when they get drafted so high, but at the same time, if you're really looking at yourself and what you got to do to get better, you know, it doesn't affect you. So that's why, you know, I lasted so long, because I just went out and did me, man. Like, and I knew every year I had to get better, and I always knew I was getting older, and they were drafting guys to replace you regardless, or they go, you know, going to free agency. And plus, what a lot of people don't know, on Tuesdays, they bring in the best of whatever's available anyway during the season. So you never know, you know, on a Tuesday, they may bring in some running backs and be like, oh, my God, this dude could do X, Y, and Z, and we liked it. We liked him in a draft, and now it's an opportunity for us to get him. Well, you got to separate yourself. So I was always told the more you could do, the better off you are. So that's how I approached everything. And it didn't matter about the draft and all that stuff to me sometimes. But, yeah, like that year when they had LaDainian Tomlinson, I remember, I think it was James I was with. He was like, man, whew, I'm so glad they passed that dude. But nowadays, that don't even matter, because the free agents are the ones that's coming in destroying people. So,
Jamel, I want to go back to something you said about when you were in Tampa and you had all these running backs with skills and they kept them and then they used them.
Mm-hmm.
Can this team do that? From what you've seen from the coaching staff for 2 years, can this coaching staff be flexible enough to figure out how to put Amari Cooper on the field along with, so you have your wide receiver, and along with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and, you know, maybe Ford. You get three running backs out there together. Can this coaching staff scheme that way?
I think they can. The better question is, can the athletes do it? You know what I mean? Like, it's a different ball game. Like, I had to play wide receiver a lot of times. It's a different ball game being a wide receiver. Like, if you're the slot guy, you got to kind of condition yourself to be a wide receiver, a slot guy. Like, if you look at tailbacks right now, you get some tailbacks. They don't all look like Eric Metcalf. He was legit. You know what I mean? He was a different breed.
Right.
He was one of the first dudes he just looked like a wide receiver, but he could carry the ball. So when you put a guy like that, shifty, understands the offense, really understands what the quarterback's looking for, can run actual wide receiver routes, not stiff like a running back sometimes, if those athletes could do that, and once the coaches find out if they can, that makes a, you know, that makes a decision really easy to say, okay, let's go stick this dude in the slot because he can work. So for me, you know, I used to get guarded when I first played by linebackers. Then I started getting guarded by nickelbacks. That's different. Getting guarded by a linebacker is one thing. When you get guarded by a nickelback, that's completely different because now nickels, they're corners. They're a little bit more limber. They, you know, they understand, all right, I'm going to line up here to make you do this. And then, so you as a slot receiver or as the running back, you have to have the same understanding and the same athleticism that a wide receiver has if you're going to sit in there in the slot. So the athlete has to prepare themselves. I think the coaches, that's what they look for, but they have to find that within the player.
Jamal, I have like 30 seconds or not even. If you were in the Browns running back room right now, who should be worried? Should Kareem Hunt be worried about getting traded? Dearness Johnson, Nick Chubb? If you're one of those guys, who should be worried by the fact that they drafted a running back?
Johnson and
John Hunt?
Yep, both of them.
Yeah, so they're – well, I'm just curious because I'm wondering how this is going to play out, and I think all Browns fans are too, especially because Kareem's from here. So that's one of the stories.
Well, I know only two of them made it out of the season without being hurt all the time.
True. So. Good point. As always, we love talking to Jamal. We will talk to you soon. I hope everything's great. Have a good summer, and hello to the family for me. Thanks,
man. All right,
man.
I will. Holla at you.
Thanks, Jamal.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.